Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us for part two of a fascinating interview with Nelson Tressler. Now, if you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up. I'll rewind just a couple of minutes to try and catch you up, but we don't have time to go into a lot of what we covered yesterday because there's so much to cover about Nelson and his business called I Got Smarter, which is built on over 25 years of life's lessons from basically his Murdered a Million story. Amen. Just to set the stage for what Nelson has been sharing and what we'll finish talking about today before we get into a discussion of Nelson's business is this. Back in October of 1971, two police officers were shot by John Tressler, Nelson's grandfather, in a small town of Belfonte, Pennsylvania. One officer died, Officer Ronald Seymour. During the first trial, John Tressler's daughter, Nelson's mother, testified the reason behind the shooting was because, allegedly, Officer Seymour had raped her on a traffic stop and she'd become pregnant. That baby boy is Nelson Tressler. He's now grown up. He's written a book titled The Unlucky Sperm Club. You are not a victim of your circumstances. Nelson grew up with that stigma, though, attached to his name in a small-town environment where, like the TV show says, everybody knows your name. He joined the Air Force, and after serving, he completed his college degree at the University of Nevada. He spent 20 years in commercial real estate as one of the top producing agents in the nation, and he has personally brokered well over $1 billion in commercial real estate deals for his clients. Let's jump back into the interview now as we conclude our discussion with Nelson Tressler. This happened back in the 70s. There was no DNA evidence or anything like that. So it was basically her word at that point in time against the reputation of a police officer whom your grandfather had murdered. That just didn't sound like a good situation any way you look at it. Growing up in that town, what was some of the stigma that you'd run into?
Yeah, I mean, I tell a lot of these stories in my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club. But I mean, for instance, one time during our eighth grade dance, which is the first dance where you picked up your date and took her to the dance and then took her home, I tell the story where I asked a girl to the dance and me and my cousin, my teenage cousin, picked her up. And when I get there, you know, I can tell the family is very cold towards me. And when they found out, you know, that my teenage cousin was driving us to the dance and dropping us off and picking us back up, it got even colder. And they excused themselves. My date was back getting ready for the dance and very awkward. And then, eventually they come out and I could tell it was not a good situation. But they let her go with us. But they did say, you know what, we have a family event after the dance, so we have to pick her up a half an hour early. And I'm like, that's fine. We can just leave a half hour early and I'll bring her back. And they're like, no, it's on our way. It'll just be easier. And I thought nothing more of it. And we got in the car and, you know, her dad's taking more pictures of the car and my teenage cousin helping us in than, you know, of us. And we end up getting to the dance. We had a good time and her parents came and picked her up a half an hour early. And I ended up dating this girl all through high school and became very close with this family and loved them. And they opened up to me. This was before they knew me. And they're like, we knew of your family and we were fearful that you and your cousin would pull over and rape our daughter. And so we weren't going to let her go. And then she decided that she would let us pick her up early. So we let her go. And then when you and your cousin pulled out to go to the dance, we followed you to make sure that you made it to the dance. And then we picked her up and brought her back. So there were situations like that. And I have a few more of those in my book. But I had to deal with a lot of that in this small town.
Amen. What made you decide to join the Air Force to begin with?
Yeah. So, I set that goal to become the first person in my family to graduate from college. I actually got into college because I played football and I had one school that was willing to massage the admission requirements. And I'm not talking that nice, easy Swedish massage. I'm talking kiss you, elbow in the back, tears coming out of your eyes massage. But I got in, but at the end of my first year, even with all the financial aid help that I was getting, I still owed the school $3,500 to go back. And I'm living with my grandmother at the time. She's making $4,800 a year on Social Security. So there's no way I was ever going to be able to go back to school. So I had a friend that had joined the Air Force and told me about the GI Bill. And joining the Air Force checked a lot of boxes for me. It showed me how I was going to be able to pay for college. But two, it got me out of this town where I had so much baggage. And never regret a day of joining the Air Force. It's definitely changed the direction of my life.
Amen. What about your brothers and sisters? You know, brothers, sisters, and I guess aunts and uncles, and because your mother's from a large family as well. Mm-hmm. So are you still in touch with them? How did they relate to you growing up because of what happened and that resulted in your birth?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely still in touch with them. My siblings are still back in that small town. All my cousins, I probably have over 100 cousins that still live around there. It was pretty unique. I mean, we all grew up on the same street, essentially. When I moved in with my gram, there were probably 10 or 15 houses on a street, and my family had 8 or 10 of them. And then there were other people who lived within walking distance. So it was a very close-knit family. We stuck together. But I mean, I think everybody dealt with it, what my grandfather had done in their own way. I just had that designation of being that kid. From the trial. So I think I got a little bit harsher of it, but everybody had to suffer through those consequences of what my grandfather had done.
Your aunts and uncles, your sisters, brothers and sisters, did they treat you differently because of you weren't born through the normal family operations, I guess you could say?
There's a lot of twists and turns in that story of what my mom testified to that I go into in my book. I don't want to kind of give away, but I think a lot of people will be surprised of everything that happened. But yeah, no one really treated me different. I mean, everybody kind of knew the circumstances. And there were a lot of people, you know, our family wasn't a lot of the traditional family, you know, people getting married and having babies, you know. So it wasn't like I was this outcast kid.
That's what I was asking. All.
In
the Air Force, you served on a couple of deployments in the war, correct?
Yeah, I went to Turkey and I went to Saudi Arabia.
Okay. And when you finish your tour of service, I'm guessing going back home, because the Air Force would pay to ship you back home, I guess that was not something that you wanted to do, was it?
No. And I actually got married with 9 months left in my enlistment, and my wife was from Las Vegas. She wanted to come back to Vegas. I wanted a fresh start. And so we ended up, we actually went to Washington because we determined we weren't going to live next to either one of our parents. We wanted to do it on our own. And then after a few months of that, we realized how hard it was to do it on our own. And we ended up moving back to Vegas. Her father was a dentist here in town, and his dental assistant had just recently quit. And my wife, Sky, came back and worked as his dental assistant and put me through college and worked until she was able to quit and raise our family.
Amen. And you went to college in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I graduated from UNLV.
Okay. And after you graduate, you started your first company. What was this company about? What did you do?
Well, so I actually started my first company as I was going to college. I started a window cleaning business and worked my way through college for those 3 years and did it a year or two after that. And then I actually took an internship right out of college and ended up getting hired in a commercial real estate brokerage. And that was my real job for 20 years. I just retired last year from that.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And had some great success there and learned a lot of things and crossed paths with a lot of people. But being in commercial real estate, you're helping other people find real estate for their businesses. So I got exposed to a lot of businesses and I have an entrepreneurial mind and was always looking for opportunities. So I got involved with children's daycare centers and invested in that and ended up actually having to take that business over when our operations partner embezzled $1 million from me and my father-in-law.
Oh,
and
wow.
That, a lot of that's in my book and my, you know, my mistakes in running that first business. And then I ended up starting a pet resort, doggy daycare and pet lodging, and ended up growing that to become one of the largest pet resort, privately owned pet resort chains in the country, and exited both of those businesses. And now, as I sit here, I'm the founder, CEO of I Got Smarter Goals Elevated. And I'm out there trying to help other people realize the power of goals in their lives and giving them all the tools, knowledge, and support that they need to live out, you know, their life's biggest goals.
Amen. Amen. And this company, I Got Smart, creating and achieving goals, you say it uses an app-based system. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, I wanted to make it as simple as possible because whenever your goals are not crystal clear and they're not easy to follow through with, they fail. And in fact, 95% of people's goals actually fail. And I saw that, and I saw how different people's lives would be if they could follow through with their goals and had a plan on how to do it and had the tools and the knowledge and the support to do it. And so I developed this app that pretty much patched all the holes that I saw when it came to people falling short on achieving their goals, making it simple. We start the program with what we call a self-assessment, determining, you know, what your goals are going to be and having that clear vision of what you want and making sure that they're your goals and not the world's goals and your parents' goals or your kids' goals. So making that crystal clear. And then every single day we start with a morning ritual, which as you go through that, that plans out your day and your task list. And now your entire day, when it comes to your goals and accomplishing what you need to accomplish, is right there in the app. And now all you have to do is start checking things off and doing the things that you need to do. And people are having huge success with it. They're, you know, no matter if you were, you never stuck with a New Year's resolution past January, or even if you consider yourself a good goal achiever, it's taking people to the next level of goal achievement and making huge differences, not only in people's lives, but their families' lives as well.
Amen. Amen. And I know it's based on 15 philosophies that you've lived by to help you achieve success. We don't have time to go into all 15, but can you give us like the top three?
Yeah, my favorite is things only have the meaning that you're willing to give them. And a good example of this is my origin story. For the longest time, I never shared that with anybody except for my wife. I told her these circumstances before we got married. I figured she deserved to know that, but I never told my children, never told my friends or my coworkers, and because it weakened me for the longest time. But when I started to think about why I lived that life and how, and then I started to think, you know what, you live that life so that you could help other people realize that you're not a product of your, you know, you're not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. So the same exact thing that happened that weakened me, those same events, now, as soon as I started to give it a different meaning, that's when it started to strengthen me and inspire me and help me. So I love that. I also love, we take 100% responsibility for our success. And this comes down to the victim mindset. As soon as you start to assign your problems to somebody else or something else, or, you know, the economy or whatever, now you've given away all control to fix that problem. So we take 100% responsibility for our own success. And that is huge because now you're in control. And, you know, the third one that I love is be grateful in all things. We have a morning ritual. And the first thing that we do is we give thanks for what we already have. And that doesn't mean that we're complacent. That doesn't mean that we're even satisfied, but that does mean that we're grateful for what we already have while we strive to, you know, have more, be more, and do more. Because if you're not grateful for what you have, chances are no matter what you end up getting, you're still not going to be grateful. Mm. Grateful is, yeah. You know, having that attitude of gratitude relates very succinctly with being happy.
Amen. 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 Why did you decide to write your book, The Unlucky Spur Plug?
I wanted people to realize that there are people who have started out in very rough circumstances and they can make it. And I wanted people to realize, you know, that people see somebody who has some sort of success, whatever category of life that's in for them. And they think that it was overnight or they never had issues. And as you read my book, I pull back the curtain. I talked about me and my wife being married for 25 years. Well, we were also separated a couple times, and we literally probably came two or three harsh words away from being divorced. And I wanted people to realize that it's not easy. It's hard. And these people that you look at that have success, whether it be, you know, family or spiritual or financial, they all have struggles. They all have these things that they have to get through, but you can get through them. And that's what I wanted people to realize with my story, is there's a lot of horrible things that have happened to me. But at the same time, I kept going. And now I'm living a life that I couldn't have even imagined 40 years ago.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. When you wrote this book, was it sort of a therapeutic way of dealing with what you went through and help you turn it into something positive, something that can help others?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, some of the things that I wrote about in my book, I hadn't thought about for 40 years. I didn't want to think about. And it was, you know, there was some pain involved in writing and reflecting upon those unpleasant memories. But at the same time, after I got it down on paper, I realized, holy cow, I made it through that. And yeah. One of my favorite quotes is, never be ashamed of a scar. It just lets you know that you were stronger than what tried to hurt you.
Amen. And that's good.
Yeah, and I love that. And that's what my story, as I wrote it, that's what I kept drawing strength from is, yeah, that sucked. And I remember going through it and it was hard. But it's made me the person that I am today. It's made me stronger. It's made me more compassionate. And it's made me want to help other people who are in rough circumstances.
Amen. Amen. In your book, you share how someone can reject their victim mindset, taking control back over their life, regardless, as you said, what cards they've been dealt in life. Yeah. Give us a couple examples from your book where you help walk someone through that.
Well, I mean, some of the philosophies that I just used, okay. I mean, giving the things the meaning that you want to give them and gaining strength from that. I think we all go through situations and we get to choose whether or not we get to assign a negative meaning to that, whether there's people out there hating on you, whether you've had somebody wrong you, whether you've had a bad business dealing, we get to give that meaning. And that's one of the things we strive to do is let's look for that silver lining. Let's look how, you know, life's not happening to us, it's happening for us. And when we have that mindset, we know that these things are here to either teach us, make us stronger, or help somebody else. And when you bring that mindset to life opens up for you. And there's all these other opportunities that are out there because you're focused on your success. Another thing that we realize is success is not an event. You know, success is a journey and it never ends. And you've only rented success. If you've meeting success in any part of your life, you've only rented it. You didn't buy it. You got to continue at it. And, you know, I go back to, I ran a marathon maybe 2 or 3 years now ago. And, you know, I was in pretty good shape. I could run. But now that I sit here today, I would be hard pressed to make it 5 miles because success is rented. I didn't focus enough on running anymore after I ran that marathon, and I've lost some of that. So people need to keep that in mind. This is a journey, and we have to keep going. And I've got news: the journey's never over. We're always striving to reach our potential and that person that we can become through hard work and dedication and focus.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Nelson, I appreciate your openness and your willingness to help others by sharing your story. I mean, your book is definitely a must read. How can someone order a copy of your book? Is it on Amazon?
Yeah, my book's available everywhere books are sold. It's on Amazon. If you love listening to books like I do, it's also on Audible.
Amen.
So you can go to Audible and download it. But yeah, you can go there. You can also go to nelsontressler.com, which has the book available there as well. Links to Amazon, and also the I Got Smarter app is there.
Okay.
You can go there to find that. But the I Got Smarter app is also available on Apple and Android at the app stores.
Okay. Yeah, that was my next question about the I Got Smart app. So praise the Lord. So I'll put links to all this down below in the show notes. Folks, I cannot express in words the needfulness of you to buy this book. I mean, Nelson shared things in this book that we have, well, definitely we don't have time to cover all of it. And those we did cover today, really, we just barely scratched the surface. Amen. His willingness to take the tragic story of how he came to be and the environment in which he grew up as an environment of not his making is worth reading about in this book. But then he shares how he turned his life around. Praise God. He shares how he turned what looked like a cursed life into a blessed life. And it didn't happen overnight, but it did happen. Praise the Lord. Now, through this book and through his company, I Got Smart, you can read all about it and learn about it and implement these strategies for yourself. Go down below into the show notes, order your copy of Nelson Tressler's great book, The Unlucky Sperm Club. You are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. In fact, order 2 or 3 copies and bless someone you know with a great read also. This is one book that will absolutely be remembered as a great gift. Use the links down below. Order your book. Be sure to get in touch with Nelson Tressler as well. Reach out to him. Ask questions. And Nelson, I can't express enough my thanks for you taking the time to come on the program today and share all about your book and your company and just sharing this information with us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Robert. I appreciate you having me on.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Nelson Tressler, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.